And thank you so much, Pastor Vince. Again, welcome everybody. If you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. Sorry about the screen problems we're having this morning, but we'll get that figured out for next Sunday. Again, happy Father's Day. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. Very easy to find this morning. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read two verses in Genesis 1, and then we're going to flip over to Genesis chapter 2 and read two verses in Genesis chapter 2. And so, ladies, I want to ask permission from you today. Is it okay if I just speak to the men in the room this morning? Thank you, ladies. I so appreciate that. Because if you would have said no, I have nothing to say. But this is being Father's Day. You know, usually I don't speak, I'll be honest with you, I don't speak a Father's Day message, but I really felt like that what the Lord wanted to say today is important for men to hear. We're talking about this morning, becoming men of courage in a world of chaos. Becoming men of courage in a world of chaos. And Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is going to help us men this morning. And the Bible says, here we go, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 2, 19 and 20. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Father, I pray this morning that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, help every man in this room, God, hear your call, Lord, into their life. Lord, we know that greatness is called out of us. And I pray that greatness will be called out of the men in this room this morning. Thank you for the ladies that are giving us permission today, Lord, to address what godly manhood, Lord, really is and how that is practically played out in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, again, thank you for giving me permission. Men, first and foremost, this is a message where you need to humble yourself and open your ears to hear. A lot of the things that I say today, you're going to be thinking, well, that's not me. And if you're married, your wife is thinking, yes, it is you. And so it's important that you humble yourself and know that the problems, the things I'm going to talk about today, what I believe the Spirit of God wants to address in us as men, every single man in this room struggles with this, including myself. The fact of the matter is that most of the problems that we have, whether it's in our life or in our world, is really because men have forsaken their rightly duty. Men, it's very easy for us to be passive. It's very easy for us to not accept responsibility. But here at Bethel, we want to change that. Amen? What we want here is we desire men really to embrace responsibility and to reject passivity. Ladies, again, if you're single, a single woman, or you're dating, listen, this picture that I'm going to paint today of what a godly man, what he's supposed to look like, what he's supposed to do, this is what you are looking for. Here's what breaks my heart for all the single ladies in the room, or even those that are dating. What breaks my heart is when a woman begins to compromise. When she begins to compromise because she grows impatient, wondering, God, where is he? And then he comes along, but he's not the right he. And because of impatience, or because you're wondering, is somebody ever going to show up, you just lower your standards and you say yes to a man that you should never say yes to. Ladies, can I tell you, you are more valuable than that. If you're single in here, you are more valuable. You are precious. Wait till a godly man shows up And wait until you see these godly standards held in his life. That's who you say yes to. And then you come talk to me and you let me see those godly standards and you allow me to say yes to them as well. I'm telling you, there is protection, ladies, in having people in your life helping you make decisions, especially when it comes to who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Back to the men in the room, though. When you look at the story of the Bible, is that God made you and I, well, as we know, male and female, but we're addressing men today. And he gave us this world to enjoy. And we were called to live in harmony and unity with our Heavenly Father. We have this picture here in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 of the Garden of Eden. Before sin came into the world, this is what God desired for you and I. That his creation, male and female, that we would walk in authentic relationship with God. Now we know the problem is we don't live in the Garden of Eden. Because of our sin, relationship with God has been broken. Now this is a great point. When a man's relationship with God is broken, that man is broken as well. A man can never be whole without having an authentic relationship with God. And so when that is broken, a man becomes broken as well. And that brokenness leads to us being plagued as men with ills that come from living in this sinful world. Ills, men, that you and I really were never designed to endure. We battle against inclinations and urges we are never intended to feel. And these ills often cause our marriages to not be what they should be. It causes many times our children to really have a shattered hope of what a real family is supposed to be. And if we are honest with ourselves, men, it can cause you and I to hate ourselves. Because many times there are these urges that rage within us. And we wonder, what do I do with these urges? And we come close, myself included. We come close every single day, really giving up the fight. We wonder, can I really keep the battle up? Can I keep fighting the fight that I'm called to fight? And on top of all of that, many times, men, again, if we're honest, we feel lonely, don't we? Now, we hear ourselves saying this one simple statement. We'll never say it to our wife. We'll never say it to our children. We'll never say it to our friend. We'll never say it to the people in church. But we oftentimes think this one simple statement. And it's, I have no idea what to do. Many of you ever heard yourself saying that before? Have you ever been there before? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a dating relationship. Maybe you're trying to parent. Maybe it's at work. And you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Now, many times we don't express this to others because we think that is a sign of weakness. Because we think to ourselves, don't we, men? I should know what to do. I'm a man. I should know what to do in this situation, in that situation. But the fact of the matter is, many times, men, we don't know what to do. This is why, as men, I told you we have to humble ourselves. Many times we don't ask for directions, do we? Because we should know what to do. We should know where to go, right? We don't ask for directions. We don't ask for people's opinion. But we struggle with this. Do I really have what it takes, or do I really know what to do? Now, many times when we as men, when we make that statement, there's actually a question that we are asking ourselves when we make that statement. I don't know what to do. Many times the question comes is, do I really have what it takes to do what I'm supposed to do? And because we don't know what do we do as men? We oftentimes focus on only what we are good at, right? Because we don't know what to do in this area, we begin to focus on only what we know, what we're good at doing. Therefore, we spend long hours at work. We spend too much time on our hobbies. And we say to ourselves, well, I might not be able to do that, but look what I can do. I work very well. I do this very well. But here's the problem, men. Oftentimes, that we are addressing is the most valuable things to us. Because usually that in our life as men is what? Our relationships. Because this, men, is what we struggle with. Our relationships with our children, our friends, our wife. But I want to help us today, men. I want to help us learn how to be good at handling our relationships, because those are the most important things in your life. Men, when you go to heaven, your heavenly Father, when you have to give an account of your life, He's not going to ask you how much money did you make. He's not going to ask you how big of a house did you live in. He's not going to ask you what kind of car did you drive. You know what He's going to ask you? Were you responsible? Uh-oh. Were you a good steward of the precious gift that I gave you called your wife and your children? That's what He's going to ask you. And so we as men, we have to quit being passive when it comes to our relationships with our wife, with our children, and with our friends. Then we've got to learn how to be good at handling relationships. We got to learn how to be a good steward, how to steward our wife, how to steward our children in a way that honors Jesus. I'm telling you, men, transformation is going to come today. Here's what I desire, ladies, for you. I desire that the very thing you keep pointing out in your man, he's finally going to listen to today. Amen, ladies? That very thing that you've been telling him over and over and over again. Hey, this needs to change. He continues to look over it. He continues to reject it. I believe today, by the Spirit of God, that thing is going to change today in the name of Jesus. You know, before Corona hit, I like to call it Corona, before Corona hit, Dee and I, as you might remember, we were in a relationship series called Love Dates and Heartbreaks. And we were going to preach a message together. Now, we're going to come back in the month of September. We're going to redo that series all over with again, because that was a great series. And we come back in September, we're going to preach a message about this. And this is really key. And it was simply that some point, listen to this, some point in a marriage, the primary point of sanctification becomes your spouse. What does that mean? That means the thing, this is to us men, we're not talking to the ladies. Ladies, you're off the hook today. That means the thing that your lady wants to change in you. That is the very thing, men, that God wants to change in you. See, that thing your wife keeps pointing out, hey, this needs to change. Hey, this is hurting us. Did you know that is the Spirit of God speaking to you, men? That is the Holy Spirit speaking through your wife, through your girlfriend, telling you that needs to change. That's the thing that God wants to touch and change for us today. I mean, again, when we say, I don't know what to do, oftentimes we're asking a question that we don't think about. And that question is, do I have what it takes to do what a real man is called by God to do? Now, this question stays hidden because it makes us feel very uncomfortable. But what I want us to understand today, and this is what we're going to see from Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 2, that godly men, even when they don't know what to do, that godly men are called to move. Man, I like that. Men, we like to be on the move. We like to do things. It's because we have been created by God to move. Men, we are designed by God to move. We're designed to move with courage into chaotic situations and bring about order. This is why we can no longer remain passive. This is why we have to accept responsibility. Because you and I, as men, are called to move into the chaos, whatever that chaos may be, the chaos of our families, the chaos of our friends, the chaos of emotions and feelings, stuff we're not good at doing, Stuff that makes us feel inadequate. We're not called men to play it safe or to back away. We are called to move. Somebody say amen. Come on, men. You got to be in agreement with these things. Your wife is looking for agreement in this message. But here's what we do. As we move into the chaos, we have to do the very thing that our Heavenly Father did when He moved into chaos. What did God do? When God moved into the darkness or into the chaos, you know what He did? We see it 10 times here in Genesis chapter 1. 10 times we see when God moved into chaos, into disorder, you know what He did? He spoke. He used words, men. He used His mouth. He spoke into the darkness and into the chaos, and He brought forth beauty and life out of confusion and out of darkness. Man, this is exactly what you and I are called to do. As God has created you and I in His image, He's created us to speak into the darkness and chaos just like He did. But many times, men, what do? We choose to do what? We choose to do the opposite of what God did. God speaks, but we choose many times to be silent. We choose, as we continue to move through the book of Genesis, we'll see we do exactly what Adam did. As we come into the story of creation, we see that God created everything. He created them with His words. And here's what's so interesting, is God did all of His creating in the dark. He spoke into the darkness, into chaos, and He brought forth beauty and life out of confusion. Again, 10 times He spoke. His speech brought life. He created the heavens, the earth, the land, the sea, you and I, His creation. He created what? All by His words. But when we flip over, I'm sorry, to Genesis chapter 2, we see God taking His creation called Adam, and God allows Adam, or gives him the responsibility of naming every single animal. Pretty amazing. Here we have Adam reflecting the very thing His Heavenly Father did. And as Adam began to look at the animals, he began to name them. That's an elephant. That's a lion. That's a snake. He began to call them. That's a bear. And what's amazing about that is God never helped Adam. Whatever Adam called those animals, that was their name. He was giving Adam dominion. He was giving Adam the right to have authority, the right to name things. Adam was reflecting His Heavenly Father. He was taking on responsibility. He was calling forth life. And then what does God do? God brings this beautiful creature called a woman to Adam. Her name is Eve. And here we have Adam and Eve dwelling in perfection, living in the garden. There was life, there was order, there was no chaos. But we just move one chapter ahead to Genesis chapter 3, and what do we have? Now we have chaos coming on to the scene. Here we have Satan coming to Eve. It's interesting that Satan did not come to Adam. But here, as you read the scripture, what you see, friends, and I believe this with all of my heart, is that when Satan was talking to Eve, when you read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, do you know who also was there? I believe with all of my heart, based on how I read Genesis 3, that Adam was standing right next to Eve. Adam was listening to the conversation that Satan, who represented chaos, was having with his wife. Here comes chaos to Eve, bringing confusion, bringing disorder, and Adam the whole time is standing right next to Eve. But you know what Adam chose to do? Adam did the exact opposite of what he has seen His Heavenly Father do, and also what He's already done by naming the animals. Adam had a perfect opportunity When he saw darkness, when he saw chaos, he had a perfect opportunity to use his mouth and speak against the chaos. All Adam had to say was, "Nuh-uh, Satan, you're not welcome here. She is not your property. She doesn't belong to you. She belongs to God, and God has given her to me as my responsibility." But Adam, just like we do men many times, he chose to be what? To be silent. He chose not to use his words, not to represent his heavenly Father, but he chose not to speak. He remained silent. He was passive, standing right next to his wife. He was physically present, but he was emotionally absent. And what happened is he began to fade into the background of this story. Yet God had called him, just like he's called you and I, men, to be front and center protecting his family, not through physical strength, not through work ethic, but by using his words. Many times, men, we feel that we only protect our family through our strength or through our work ethic, but this is not what God wanted Adam to do in that moment. He wanted him to protect his family by using his words, by speaking into the chaos that was coming into his life. But he chose to be silent. And Adam's silence turned his paradise into his wasteland, into a wasteland. His sin was not just being silent towards Satan, but his sin that he was silent towards his wife. He never spoke up. He never reminded her of God's words. He never called her into a larger vision. He just simply passively listened to her speak, and he allowed the enemy to destroy what was most precious to him. See, Adam's disobedience did not begin by eating the fruit, whatever that fruit may have been. It began when he chose to be silent. Help us, Lord. See, here's what we learn, men, from Adam's mistake. We learn that just like Adam's silence was deadly, we learn that our silence, men, our silence is deadly. When it comes to my marriage, my silence, you know what many times it does to my wife? When there's conflict, when there's chaos, when there's disorder, and when I'm silent, I don't speak into that disorder, into that chaos. Maybe it's our relationship, maybe it's with our children, maybe it's a financial situation. You know what that does to her? My silence makes her feel like it's her fault, that she's done something wrong. That's why I have to speak. I have to step up. I have to reject passivity. I got to embrace, men, responsibility. There's many times I don't want to do it because this old Adam many times wants to jump on my back. But I've got to step up as a man, and just as my heavenly Father moved into the darkness, I also have to move into the darkness. I have to move into the disorder, into the chaos. Even when I don't know what to do, I have got to move because my silence, it's deadly. My silence makes Deanna feel like whatever we're battling, whatever we're facing, that it's her fault. And it's only by my words that I can bring that pressure off of her and remind her, no, baby, we're in this thing together. I've learned that my silence allows my children to be destroyed by insecurity and fear. This is why I pray a simple prayer, men. As a dad, it's my responsibility by the Spirit of God to see things in my children that they cannot articulate to me. I've got to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there anything in my baby's lives? Is there anything they're struggling with that maybe they don't want to tell me about, or maybe they just don't know how to say? They don't know how to articulate. It's my responsibility as a dad to bring that up front, to bring that to the surface so that we can communicate about it, because it causes disorder. It causes chaos in our children. It causes insecurities and fears, things that they're not meant to handle by themselves. Me as their dad, they're my responsibility. And I got to step up and say, hey, babe, this is how you handle this. This is how you deal with this emotion. This is how you deal with this thought. I have to talk to my sons. Hey, sons, this is how you do. Maybe you've seen an image that you are not meant to see. And I got to talk to them about that image. I can't just allow those images, you know what I'm talking about, men, to run in my children's minds, my sons. I got to address things to them. I got to tackle those things with them. I got to help them with those things. I got to ask them questions that make me feel uncomfortable. Anything growing yet? Sorry. I got to talk to them about it. That's my responsibility as a dad. I got to embrace responsibility. I have to reject passivity as a man because my silence in their life is deadly, men. Men, are you talking to your children? Are you talking to them? Are you asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are my babies struggling with? This is how we rescue our children, men. This is how we keep them for being overcome by the sin of this world. Yes, I'm so thankful for your work ethic. I'm so thankful for you getting up every day and going to work. But men, we've got another plate to spin. That's not all we're called to do. You are called to speak. You are called to use your mouth more than just eating a steak. You're called to speak life out of it. You can do it, men. There is greatness in you. You can do it. Ladies, let's give our men a hand clap. They need it. My silence also. I've discovered this. If I'm silent as a man, then I'm never going to go deep with the men of God that God has placed in my life that I'm called to walk with. I'm sorry. My silence is deadly to me, and it's also deadly to those I'm responsible for. The problem is, though, again, many times we don't know what to do. But men, the Holy Spirit is telling us today, even when you don't know what to do, you still have to move. You got to move. Godly men move. And as you trust God, as you move, guess what happens? It's supernatural. The Holy Spirit begins to give you what to say. Here's the good news, men. When we move into the darkness as believers, we're not carrying our own light, but we're actually carrying a supernatural light into the darkness. That light is the light of Jesus. I love this. This is found in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Listen to this. Isaiah 50, 10 says this. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? That's you and I. We fear the Lord. You and I are saying as men, I want to obey the word of the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord. I want to obey you. He says, let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, meaning I don't know what to do as a man many times. Men, do you think that as a dad, I have 3 daughters and 2 sons, there are so many times, especially now, the emotions are overwhelming. The questions that I get over and over and over again, I think to myself, I've already answered that question. Do you not remember a week ago when we had this conversation? Why are you crying about this? I thought we talked about this already. Why are we having so many sad tears? Why are we doing this again? I feel like I don't know what to do. I don't have a light. Lord, I'm in the darkness. Who walks in the dark, who has no light. Here we go. Trust in the name of the Lord. Woo! And rely on their God. See, here's the good news for us men. The old Adam, the Adam we see here in Genesis 1 that failed, the Adam many times that we see being pointed out in our life, maybe by our wife, maybe by our girlfriend, maybe by another man, that Adam can be destroyed. That Adam can be removed. Because we see clearly from Scripture that Adam is not our example. You know who our example is? This supernatural light that now lives on the inside of you and I as believers, called the light of Jesus Christ. Adam is not my example. My example is Jesus. Jesus, as you read this word, you know what Jesus did? When he was faced with chaos, the same person, Satan, chaos, disorder, that came to Adam, he also came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Here we have chaos showing up on the scene again in Matthew chapter 4. Tempting Jesus. Jesus, will you do this? Jesus, if you do that. What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't remain silent. Jesus was not passive. Jesus opened up his mouth. And you know what he did? Jesus spoke. And what I love about what Jesus did is he did the very same thing that you and I can do. He used the word of God to speak against chaos, to speak against disorder. He said, "It is written." Three times Jesus said it. "It is written." Jesus spoke into chaos and he brought about order and life. When we men give our lives to Jesus, the same power that Jesus carried in him is the same power that you and I now carry. There's a new power that comes upon us men when we trust in Jesus. It's a power to speak his word into every chaotic situation, whether it's in our marriage, our children, wherever it may be. There's a new power that we carry to speak into the darkness. As men of God, we have to understand that our most important decisions are oftentimes made in the dark. They're made when we don't understand. It's in those moments we have to trust God. And I have to tell you, there's many times as I'm moving, I don't know exactly what God's going to say. I don't know exactly what God's going to do. I don't know exactly what God's going to say to me. Because he doesn't give me the exact words to say. But I trust in him. And it's in those moments where I hear his still small voice speaking to me by the Spirit, telling me, "You can do it, Lance. I'm with you." Most of the time when I move into my family, I don't know what to say. But I know that Jesus, by his Spirit, is going to give me the answer. Give me what to say. And many times, men, it's simple statements that I have to say. Statements like, "I love you. I'm here for you. You can do it." Those are the simple statements. It's not some long, drawn-out sentences, some deep revelation that God gives. God reminds me of how much he loves me, and I remind those I'm responsible for how much I love them. Still small voice. God, man, this is why our relationship with Jesus is so important. Because when we come to know him, we begin to behave and make decisions like him. We begin to reflect his beauty to our families. I mean, if we're honest, this is what we struggle at. We're silent. But God wants to empower us today to move into the darkness with his light. He wants to empower us. He wants us to allow us to hear his voice. Godly men move. They move. I mean, I know the message was heavy for you today, but Jesse, you going to be able to play for me this morning? Come on up, Jesse. I've got more to say, but we've got to close. But here's what I want us to do today. Man, I want us to come into agreement what the Spirit of God is saying today. And I want this silence. This is called the silence of Adam. I want this silence to be broken off of us today. I want by the Holy Spirit, Him to release His courage and His strength in us so that we can begin to open this up right here. We can begin to talk. I know you're scared. I know it makes you feel uncomfortable. But you can do it. Your family needs your words. They need your words. They need your voice. They need your direction. They need you to speak. They need you to move. Godly men move. They move into chaotic situations and the things that are disorderly. And with their words, they bring about life. They bring about hope. That's what I want to do. I want all the men, even if you're not a dad, I just want all the men in the room just to stand to your feet. All the men, stand up. All the ladies, if you can just extend your hand to these men just like this. We're going to believe this morning for a breakthrough. We're going to believe for a breakthrough. Let's bow our heads. Father, we stand in agreement right now. But every man standing could have chosen to be home today. They showed up. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. You're dealing with every single one of us, including me. We as men are in this boat together. We're called to move into the darkness. We're called to move into the darkness with our words and to speak. Speak life. Speak hope. Speak faith. To rid our children of insecurity and fear. To let our wife know that it's not her fault. Today, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that you would break passivity off of us in the name of Jesus. Break it in the mighty name of Jesus. And then what I want you to do is right where you're standing, I just want you to repeat after me. Are you ready, men? Just repeat after me. This is a start. Listen, this is a safe place right here. Nobody's thinking you're weird. This is the chance for you to be transformed, for you to be changed. I'm going to lead you through a little confession. I just want you to speak out of your mouth. Say, Lord Jesus, I reject passivity in the name of Jesus. I embrace responsibility. I choose today to put my trust in Jesus. As Jesus spoke, I will speak. I will no longer be silent. I choose to be the godly man that I am. I choose to move into the darkness. Move into the chaos, and I choose to speak the word of God. Holy Spirit, empower me today to bear your image to my family, to my friends, and to my community. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we disagree with every word that was just spoken. And right now, in Jesus' name, God, we break silence off every man in this room. God, we break it in the name of Jesus. Thank you that these men will no longer be silent, but they will be courageous men who are not ashamed of who they are. And God, I thank you that when they move, you're going to give them the words to say. Lord, that thus saith the Lord will come from their mouth in the name of Jesus. Give them strength. Give them courage today, God, to move into the darkness. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap this morning. Thank you, Lord. Woo!